And welcome back to A Closer Look. I'm Rose Scott.
And I'm Dennis O'Hare.
So Dennis, what happens when the love of soul music brings together some very talented artists?
Some very talented young artists, Rose, who probably didn't hear the original songs when they were on the air on Top 40 radio.
And we're talking about the soul music of the 50s, the 60s, and also with the influence of Southern soul and what some will call Georgia soul. Well, guess what? You and I had a chance to hang out with Ruby Vail and the Soul Phonics, and this is it.
It doesn't feel like those stark white shoes will be walking through like they usually do. Around the corner, looking through the glass, I see the candles flicker.
We might be sprouts, but slightly aged sprouts. We've been doing this for over right around a decade now as a band together. We originally met in Gainesville, Florida, and played there for a few years between myself and Scott and Spencer. And then we started and came up here for the purpose of my going to grad school, actually right around the corner from here at the Creative Circus. And in that time that I was in school, we were putting the band back together and playing shows in Atlanta and building our fan base. So that's it. We met the other guys shortly afterwards, and now we're a big, happy soul family.
You mentioned your soul, and obviously being that this is Georgia, there's a lot of great, just legends when you talk about soul. Mm. You can start with Little Richard, James Brown, Gladys Knight, obviously.
Even Sharon Jones.
Isaac Hayes, Otis Redding. So
doesn't end.
It's the one question that everybody gets, that is that your influence? Is that the core of this group? It's soul music?
Yeah, I think that we are influenced by a multitude of different genres, but we gravitate towards soul music, and there is something in the water here, in the air, in the earth, that gives that essence of what we do. So I think soul plays an important part, and I've always said that we want to be pillars of the genre. We want to be able to stand alone in the genre and not just be a representation of or a throwback to anything. So we're trying to do something that's rooted in Georgia soul, but in a new kind of modern way.
How do you do that? Because it's so easy to be labeled, okay, you're a derivative of something, you're continuing a tradition of something. So how do you plow the new ground while remaining true to where your inspiration lies?
I think it's certainly a fine line and a fine balance, and I think a number of the guys in the band would also attest to the fact that we spend many, many hours making sure that our music is unique, it is authentic, it's not just a copy of a copy of, what's been going on in the genre. But still being able to pay respect, I think, is part of the essence of what we do.
Counting footsteps from a crowded place, you step in and bring sunshine from a rainy day. You're almost in my arms. Can't believe we got this far. No more waiting, no more wanting for you to come around. Now there was always doubt that somehow I love worked it out.
Talk about the writing process. Someone call and say, hey, I got a song.
Well, in a configuration of this size, it happens in a lot of different ways. So sometimes for the majority of their first album, these two would have an arrangement idea, melody ideas, and then I would take what they had done, put down for demos, and write my thoughts to it. And sometimes they come through me, not necessarily from me. So I write them, and then we put it all together. And that formulates a song, and then we open it up to the horns, and they learn their parts, and sometimes they have a say in what the parts are as well. So it really does happen in different ways, but that's the most common way so far for
us. Let's talk to the horn section, because they've been kind of quiet. So, go ahead. So when when that process gets to you all, what are you looking for? Are you looking for a feel, or is just something innate that you know that this is where maybe the horns need to come in, or?
Yeah, sometimes it's just kind of obvious to all three of us. There is three of us, by the way. There's a trumpet and a Barry sax that can't be with us right now. But a lot of the time Spencer and Scott have ideas, you know, either a set idea and we play that, and they write good horn lines, and then sometimes they'll open it up and we'll try and, you know, move it around and figure out what to do with it. But usually the songs that they write, the horn lines just kind of come naturally. So it's never an arduous process. It's usually pretty simple.
What speaks to you about soul music first when you first got attracted to it, but then you're on stage, you're playing, and you've got a beautiful saxophone there too. But what is it that speaks to you about all of that kind of music, night in, night out? You know, you're playing lots of gigs. It still has to speak to you.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I was introduced to soul kind of through jazz. I started with that, and then I joined this band, and this was the first real band I guess I was ever in.
Thanks.
I mean, it was. So I actually got on a stage and played in front of people, and these guys introduced me to so much more music, and it's I realized why so much more people liked it, because it really did speak to you. And
about where you want to go. And I mean, you've been together for a while, so let's talk about the next step. I mean, you know, some bands will say, you know what, as long as we're playing good music and we're together and we all get along, that's great. And some will say, you know what, we want to be here, we want to get a Grammy nomination, we want to, you know, be on Jimmy Kimmel Live or whatever. You know, what's where you guys see yourself?
I think there's a mix of that. We enjoy being a band, we enjoy playing together, we really enjoy festivals and large venue opportunities. But we'd also like the piece of the action on television, and just to be bringing a new kind of soul to new ears, I think, is important. So, yes, we'd love to do any of those television opportunities. And once I meet, Conan O'Brien, I'll be very, very happy and proud of that moment. I think, do you guys have anything other that you want to hit on your wish list? Red Rocks for me. I've always wanted to play Red Rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about,
it's a big dream.
You're talking about, you're defining what you hope will be a new kind of soul music. You have to be all on the same page, certainly on stage, but then when you're writing and deciding what direction you're going, when you have a band this size with as many songwriters as you do, then how do you keep your musical policy, if you will, cohesive, and how do you resolve differences even?
I think it's kind of like an innate thing. I think we all work so well together that we know if something is way outside the scope of what we're looking for creatively.
Not a lot of differences. It's more that, you know, not all songs make the cut.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's just, you don't always write a great song, and you'll continue to work on it and try to make it a song, and then ultimately it just gets swept under the rug and never performed or never really. It gets recorded.
Maybe
but
that's
it
how
get
we avoid the
released.
Tough conversation.
And then I think it's an exercise in songwriting at that point.
Is there a managing editor who says, okay, this song doesn't make the cut, or is it more of a group process?
We all know. I mean,
it's very
a group
collective.
Process.
I mean,
everybody has feedback.
And at this point, everybody here and even the other two guys that are missing have been in the band for the past 6 years or so.
Yeah.
So we're, you know, when we moved up to Atlanta, it was just kind of me, Ruby, and Spencer, and a revolving door of musicians while we were finding the right players. These guys have been with us for a while, and so it is a more collective, you know.
And it's interesting in that, you know, a lot of creative endeavors, you have like the too many cooks in the kitchen type of thing, but we don't have that. We really don't. Everybody has a good amount of feedback and input And the common goal is to just make really good sounding music. So that's what we're trying to do.
You mentioned, you know, when there's a song that's not going to make a cut. So I'll go the other way. You can tell y'all agree when there's a song that, oh, this is it. Mm-hmm. This
everybody's
is
into it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like an unspoken synergy, I think,
yeah.
in the writing process. You know, sometimes you might, everybody's kind of on the fence about a song and it might be great a week or two later after you do more stuff in the studio, yeah. or you still might feel the same way and everybody's kind of, yeah.
And you might write it 2 years earlier and you don't get excited about it until you start reworking it in the studio. And then it starts to come to life because you're actually really focusing on it, adding new parts potentially.
Right. And I come no other way but how I am. And nothing you say could never ever, ever mend these false words of love. This chapter's done. Bell, lead vocalist and songwriter.
Scott Clayton, guitar, songwriter.
Hey, Spencer Garn.
Mark Carbone, drums.
Taylor Kennedy, saxophone.
Kevin Scott, bass.
Thank you.